Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. I'm Maddie, and you are listening to an episode in our podcast series, Oh, the Places You Will Go, an SLP Spotlight, where I get to interview speech pathologists who have interesting positions in our field, from the very basic to the most interesting spots, places, people they work with, and all of that in between. I get to have the fun of just chatting with these SLPs, finding out what they do, how they got their jobs, and any words of advice they have for other SLPs. So listen as we explore all the wonderful things an SLP can do. Today, I'm here with Tom Dixon, one of the new and popular owners of the Dysphagia Journal Club on Facebook. You put something out there a few days ago and you got an overwhelming response. Tell us who you are and what you did.
Yeah, so my name's Tom Dixon. I graduated with my bachelor's and master's degree from the University of Central Missouri. I've been practicing for about 5 years. My wife and I, we live in St. Louis. So there's always a lot of fun things to do around here. It's a really family-friendly city. I work full-time in an inpatient rehab facility. And then I work PRN in acute care. So I kind of get the full spectrum of just different dysphagia patients and just like adult population in general. In our inpatient rehab facility, I also serve as the brain injury team co-coordinator. And I work primarily on our brain injury and stroke floor. So that presents quite a few challenges. I mean, we get a lot of really interesting, complex patients, which is really good. And it has really helped me to grow professionally, I think. Overall, like I love the field of speech pathology. I think it's constantly growing and there's a lot of cool opportunities for growth in it. For myself, I really like, I have a passion for dysphagia and oral health and just providing best quality of life for our patients that we identify with dysphagia. And I'm currently in the process of applying for my board certified specialist in swallowing and swallowing disorders. So it's a really complex road and there's a lot of different pieces to it. But I'm really excited to challenge myself in that new way. In my spare time, I enjoy running. I finished my first half marathon, I guess that was spring of 2019, so I did that. And then I love traveling with my wife and exploring like new coffee shops and just going all over the country and things like that. And to answer your second question, so I started this journal club just because I think the field of speech pathology and dysphagia in general, there's a bunch of new things happening in it. And a lot of new research getting out there that we might not know as clinicians. So I thought it was a really important thing to do. Like you said, I did not anticipate the overwhelming response. So it'll be fun. It'll be a blast.
How many have signed up for your club, the Dysphagia Journal Club now?
So I looked this morning when I woke up and I think it's up to like 1,400 members. And I, like I said, I did not anticipate that, but it'll be neat. And like, we have a bunch of different people from all over the country. So like East Coast, West Coast, Southwest, like all over. And then it's even kind of like grown internationally. So there's been a few individuals that have, I said they're from Canada and South America and Australia. And so it'll be fun. It'll be really interesting.
Well, this podcast is in 80 different countries last time I looked.
And so, oh my gosh.
I find that just with this podcast and the people who reach out to me through my website, America is one of the leaders in dysphagia. We've got really, really, really strong clinicians, some excellent resources, and countries look to us for, you know, advancing. and continuing and improving their skills. So the Dysphagia Club that you're starting and all these other resources, it's really exciting to see them come along and to see something like what happened with you. It just shows what a need there is for all of this.
Yeah. So, yeah. And that's like the, that continues to be the message that I get from people is that, oh my gosh, I'm so excited that you did this. Like, and you have people all the way from, like students in their first semester of graduate school all the way to professionals that have been working like 20 and 30 years. So I think we can really like learn from each other, like in this environment.
So what is a journal club? What did you,
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What did you start? Why is this different than like informed SLP?
In my opinion, I think a journal club is just, a group of like-minded professionals, that want to challenge themselves, that want to grow in their knowledge of a particular subject, and want to collaborate with other professionals. Because we can all get on EBSCOhost or PubMed or whatever, and find a journal article, and read it, apply it to our practice, and then kind of go from there. But I think that like collaboration and discussion piece, is really, really important. And I will be the first to tell you that I am not the expert. So whenever I read something, I want to share it with other people and I want other people to be able to share their research with me as well. And I just think that, I think that's very, very important. I have a lot of friends from grad school, that work in, on the adult side, in the medical setting, either SNFs or small community hospitals. And they're the only SLP on staff. Right. And I'm very fortunate in my position. I'm one of 10 in our facility. So we're constantly bouncing ideas off of each other and just challenging each other and, sharing our like knowledge and experience. But I think about for those SLPs that don't have that type of collaboration, like I can't imagine like feeling, I don't ever want them to feel like isolated, you know?
So. Tell me, I'm just collecting my thoughts here.
Yeah.
There's a need for the journal club because it puts everybody more on an even playing field and more as collaborators. It's wonderful to go and learn. And then that most important next step is to take what you've learned and come back and implement and use it and ingest it, learn it, absorb it, become master of that material and then take it on. And a journal club helps you do that, brings out the best in you.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you going to be doing with your journal club?
So we keep going back to the overwhelming response. And there was a pretty enormous response. I think I had very low expectations for it. I thought we would probably get like 10 or 15 people that would jump on a Zoom call, and probably not even all 10 or 15 of them at a time. We'd pick an article and then read it and see how we can apply it. I still want to do that same format, but I think it's going to be kind of structured a little differently. So what I'm really hoping is that monthly, we can set up a Zoom meeting, especially in the age of COVID, when no one can really meet face-to-face, that we can set up a meeting and talk about a specific topic or a specific article that someone's come across. And this past weekend, I looked at a lot of different ones. So I'm really excited for that first Zoom meeting. But I do think one a month, like, people can kind of get really stagnant or like restless in between. So what I'm really hoping to do is myself to find an article, at least one every week, and post that to the group with some discussion questions and then engage people in kind of like a discussion board, manner. So probably not like a face-to-face, over a web call, but still getting people to engage and providing them with like the most up-to-date evidence, that's out there. In between, like the weekly article posting and then the monthly Zoom call, I really want to encourage people to share what they have found. And then also like share their successes. Like if they've found something that's been really, really effective with a patient, I want them to feel comfortable in that space to share that. And then on the flip side, if they have a patient that they have no idea what to do in, for it to be a very open and collaborative environment, for them to post those questions and to get that guidance from this huge group of professionals that they're now a part of.
So if somebody joins the Dysphagia Journal Club, do they have to attend the Zoom meeting, or can they just read the article and follow along, participate? What level of, where can they enter? What can they do?
Yeah, so I'm all about, like, a person can self-select however, like, to participate however much they want to participate. Whenever I was a new grad, I would, like, join these groups on Facebook, but I really, like, didn't do anything with them. I just kind of, like, watched and, like, looked at things. And it was really helpful to see, like, all of the different discussions and articles that were being posted. And be able to read them, but as like a new professional feeling or feeling nervous about like engaging. So in answer to your question, they can do as much or as little as they want. I would love it if we would have like a huge Zoom call, as long as everyone like muted their mics, if you know that feedback's really annoying sometimes. I would love it if we could get a ton of people on there, from all walks of life and all different professions, like really weighing in on these like really current topics in dysphagia research. But if it's only like 5 or 10 people, I think we can have like a really intimate, like thorough discussion of that as well. And then for those new grads and those students that that aren't as seasoned and are still trying to figure out where they sit in the profession, if they just want to sit back and watch, or sit back and read, like I'm totally okay with that as well.
So it sounds like this is a very student friendly environment and newbie friendly environment. You can listen, you can ask, and watch how it all rolls out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like I said, as new professionals, that's like so, so important. My first medical job out of grad school, I got the month after I graduated, and I was just PRN. But there were no full-time SLPs. It was a very small town, rural acute care hospital. And they only relied on like PRN for speech. And my CF supervisor was offsite and everything. So I remember feeling very nervous and not sure of myself and not confident. I don't want students to ever feel like that. And I don't want new professionals to feel like that. So ask as many questions as you want, and just sit back and enjoy the ride.
Excellent. So you mentioned that you did get a medical SLP job out of grad school.
Yes.
A lot of students are wanting to know the secret to doing that. They're like, how do I get that medical SLP job? What words of wisdom do you have for somebody wanting to move into what you're doing?
Yeah. So I think I had a very fortunate experience in my clinicals. So I did a 10 or 12 week rotation. I can't remember which one it was. A 10 week rotation at a level one trauma center in a big city. And that really prepared me, I think, pretty well, just to kind of see what dysphagia is, to see what trauma is, to see what neurosurgery is. And going out of that, I think the market was pretty saturated. So like I said, I did start with a PRN position in a very small town acute care setting. And then my first 2 years working, I did work full-time in the schools. I always knew that I wanted to get back to the medical side of things and to dysphagia land. But it did present a challenge to kind of get into the field full time. So any advice that I give to any of my students that I've had, or any students that I meet, is to be persistent. Don't be afraid to continue to apply for those jobs. Don't be afraid to take a PRN position, because I really do think, taking that PRN position and keeping my foot in the door, was really, really helpful, to kind of keep my skills up. And that PRN position was great for me. They trained me in modified barium swallow. I got to see a mix of inpatient and outpatient. So I did have a little bit of experience before I was able to transition to a full-time position. So I tell my students, be persistent. Don't be afraid to apply for anything you see. And know that your first job might not be your dream job, But that first job can be a good step toward that dream job.
Excellent words of advice. Would you on the spot be able to tell us a story of success on why you do what you do?
A story of success, why I do what I do. I can tell you a story of success. So we've all heard of COVID-19 and how it's affecting education settings and medical settings. And it has presented quite a challenge, but it's been kind of interesting to work in the time of COVID and to see like those noticeable changes in a patient's life. So this happened probably a month or two ago. Two of our feeder hospitals send us the majority of our patients. We had had a patient that had been intubated for 21 to 28 days, was in the ICU for a long time, very deconditioned, had a lot of voice deficits and some mild cog deficits. But he was really experiencing a lot of like post-extubation dysphagia, and was sent to us MPO, just because they had tried to do instrumentals there. He either wasn't able to tolerate it, or he was just a very, very unsafe person to have on PO diet right now. So his first week that he was with us, I did a feed on him, and he was able to upgrade to a minced moist consistency within liquids and a couple different strategies. But to see the look on his face, whenever I pulled the scope out, he was like, "Hey, like, I think we can upgrade you. Like, let's chat about that." He like was the most excited that I had ever seen him. And he was very motivated as well. Like whenever I went in to meet him the first day, his first words were, "When can I eat? When can I eat?" I was like, "Hey, let's get there. I want to see a couple things first." But yeah, really, really motivated and really made me love what I get to do every day. Like those patients are the reason why I got into this.
Excellent. Power of therapist, the gift of giving somebody the ability to eat and drink again, which is so socially and important and communicate. I love what we do. I love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people outside of our field really take for granted those basic functions that we get to rehab back. I mean, like talking and eating, like how exciting is that after not being able to eat for 6 to 8 weeks, like I'm going to be able to help you with your first meal. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I totally agree. And help them come back comfortably. I was in I'm one of those therapists that rides a motorcycle that everybody else is like, "Oh, do you know those are called Dormer bikes?" And I'm like, "Yes, but I've ridden for like 40 some years." And I was in an accident and had some jaw damage. And I was happy to have the totally soft pureed foods because that's what I do. And we help people see their disabilities, their losses from a different perspective, as this may be where you are now, but look where you can go and look what you can do. And this is how we're going to get you there. Safely.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. You can agree more.
So we're going to have two free resources that you sent me. One was the 5 reasons why you need to be in a journal club, dysphagia journal club, and then for creating a successful journal club. So those are available at the time of this podcast. And one more time, the name of your group that you just created on Facebook.
So it's the Dysphagia Journal Club. I tried to think of like a kitschy, trendy name, and I couldn't think of anything. So I think just Dysphagia Journal Club. So we would be happy to have any and all medical or school-based SLPs. There's honestly quite a few school-based SLPs that are in this that are either looking to just stay current on dysphagia research or are interested in making the transition like I did from school to medical or just want be part of a community of knowledgeable, like-minded SLPs. So yeah, this is your journal club.
So in the show notes would be you, Tom Dixon, your contact information, the journal club link, and the downloads, free downloads. So Perfect. Thank you so much for jumping on with me today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited that you had me on. I'm really excited about this.
Today's conversation has created some aha moments for you and motivated you to become a better SLP, continuing to connect some of those missing links between what you know and how to use that knowledge. Thank you for downloading the Missing Link for SLPs podcast. And if you enjoyed the show, I'd love you to subscribe, rate it, and leave a short review. Also, please share an episode with a friend. Together, we can raise awareness and help more SLPs find and connect those missing links and get the information needed to help them feel confident in their patient care every step of the way. Follow me on Instagram and join the Fresh SLP community on Facebook. Show notes are always available, so come learn more at freshslp.com. Let's make those connections. You got this.